Love the quizzers, love the choir, love the praisers and the musicians. Everybody that works in the house and in the kingdom here. All these passion-based ministries just make me laugh. They fill me with such joy. So thrilled and delighted to have Brother Mackendorfer with us tonight. Brother Mackendorfer and all his company that he brought from Montgomery tonight. We're so delighted to have you guys in the house tonight. Appreciate you. Brother Galindo, what a word in the house this morning. What a wonderful word in the house. What a wonderful moving of the Spirit. And he ministered to our Spanish work, and he spent several hours with Brother George and Brother Martin and some of the folks yesterday. And I want him to come tonight and just take his liberty. We've been from Dan to Beersheba tonight. We've had all kinds of... We had more church here tonight than I had in the first 15 years of my life as a Southern Baptist. But I want you to know, this is rich, and all of this sets us up for the Word of God. And everybody that wants the preacher to preach to them tonight, just extend your hand toward him. Pray for him as we come, as he comes. We love you, Brother Galindo.
Thank you. God bless you. Oh, let's worship the Lord. Come on, hallelujah, everyone together, let's just worship him. Everyone together, let's just worship him. I know we've worshiped him, but you never really can do it enough. When you consider the greatness of our God, you really can never, ever, ever really do it enough. So it won't hurt just to do it a moment longer. Come on, it doesn't take away from it. It's his word, it's his worship, it's his church. Come on, it doesn't take away from anything. Just close your eyes and think about that God that loves you. Hallelujah. Think about the life, the strength, the health he's given you. My God, my God, my God. Amen. It is such an honor to be here tonight. And I apologize if my voice makes me sound like I actually have a little bit of bass in my voice. This is my fifth time talking in 3 days, preaching. So we're going to go as long as my voice will go, and then we're going to go a little bit longer until the Holy Ghost is done. And let me say, it is a high honor. While you get your Bibles, Genesis chapter 3, it has been a high honor for me and a privilege to be here with your pastor and the staff here, and everybody's just so kind, the hospitality. There is a spirit of revival, and I know you hear that. But please don't ever let that get common to you. I mean that. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that tonight. Don't ever let that get common to you. Don't ever let that be, well, that's just preacher talk. No, it's not. Because what you have and what you feel, you don't feel everywhere in apostolic churches. And so please understand, there is a spirit of revival. There's a spirit of revelation. And there is a prophetic word in the house of the Lord tonight. Feel it deeply in my spirit tonight. And I want to give honor to your great pastor, great man of God, a lover of people. He is a lover of people. And of course, to the staff, everybody's just been so kind. The room, the basket, everything. I have no complaints. And even if I did, God's been too good to me to complain anyway. And he's been too good to you. So I just give you all honor for your worship unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Before I go into the word of the Lord, I've been asked several times what was the status of my wife. And I guess because the Lord moved in, I never got to the status of my wife this morning. So let me say this. She had surgery, and she no longer has cancer. So we give God the glory. Hallelujah. And I know, there's always somebody that says, yeah, well, the doctors must have got it all. Hey, they are called practicing medicine. Notice that word, practicing, the way we practice piano, the way we practice, they're practicing medicine. My son's in the medical field, so I can say this with some liberty. They're practicing, it's hit and miss. There's no, they got it all. God got it all. He led that surgeon's hand. So we give God the glory for it. And she is now an official member of the dermatology club. She must see a dermatologist every so often. But you know what? I'll take her gladly, knowing I'm going to have her around, and I thank God for it. Amen. Now, let's just have some fun tonight in the house of the Lord. Let's just, I promise you I'm not going to be long, but I do feel like I have a word from the Lord for us tonight. And it's been burning in my spirit. I'll be honest with you. It's been burning in my spirit for over a month. And I just got to get it out. Got to get it out. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. I'm not being over dramatic when I tell you I feel the Holy Ghost in the house of the Lord. And I want God to minister to us tonight. I want God to minister to us. And what I'm going to preach tonight is a little thought. It is the yes and the no of God. The yes and the no of God. I feel the Holy Ghost. Why don't you lift your hands right now? Father in heaven, God help us. God help us. God, speak to your people. Hallelujah. My God. Do it, Jesus. And now let's clap our hands unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Clap them with all of your heart. If you're going to ever do it for God, you might as well do it with everything you've got. He did everything he had with all he had. God bless you tonight, and you may be seated. The yes and the no of God. Imagine with me the beauty, the tranquility, the peace, and the perfection of Eden. Imagine with me how absolutely perfect that place must be. And yet, in our greatest imagination, in our fondest ability to create images in our mind, none of us could ever completely conceptualize or draw up in the imagination of our mind's eye the beauty of Eden. And yet in this beauty, and yet in this perfection, all of it was interrupted by the squeal of an innocent animal as it grazed, doing its own thing, as God snatched that animal from the field. And God, in his own way, killed that animal and shed that blood for something that had occurred in that garden because of a lie and because of the bite of a fruit. Everything we know today exists. You see, we don't know perfection. And here's the deal. The devil tries to make us feel like we need to be perfect. He didn't want us in Eden, so he caused Eden to be taken from humanity. And yet, he tries to place us back there in every single thing we do in life. That's why when you come to the house of the Lord and you feel like you've been imperfect, he's not only there to make you feel like you should be perfect, but that he's there to beat you up when you're not perfect. He wants to take your worship. He wants to take your dedication. He wants to take your passion. He wants to take your love for this great God in heaven. And everything we know today. You see, before that sin, there was no fear. There was no anxiety. all of those things, worrying about tomorrow, all of those things are a direct result of Adam and Eve's disobedience. And let me help you understand today the world I lived in, because I said this morning, I've been a counselor and I've watched children. There used to not be a day when children were diagnosed with bipolar disorder. But the longer I stayed in the field, and it's probably one of the reasons I got out of the field, they would put labels on children, and labels would follow from 7, 8, 9 up until they were teenagers. They were no longer individuals. Let me tell you something about the church. The church is the only entity on this earth that sees people as people. They're not a byproduct of something. They're not the result of some sin. We are people. We have purpose. We have being in the house of God. And so sin entered into the world, and our world tries to alleviate anxiety by medication. And I, of course, am not against medication. I take medication when I'm sick if the Lord chooses not to heal me. I'll be honest with you. I'm not one of them people. If I pray the Lord doesn't take my headache away, I don't suffer 15 hours with a splitting headache. Lord, touch my body. Oh, thank you, Jesus, you're able. And I'm just practical. If he doesn't do it, I got a bottle of Excedrin sitting in the closet. So don't go thinking, oh, he's one of them. No. But I've seen how drugs, prescription drugs, have been handed out like Pez candy. How many of you remember those Pez dispensers? Man, wasn't that good candy. Still is. I have to stay away from it because I can eat them. Those little skeins, hand over fist. I don't even need the little thing. I just take them out of the wrapper and eat them. And because of the catastrophic sin, fear, anxiety, brokenheartedness, division, hierarchies, food chains, death, sin, and separation into the world. Now stay with me because we're going somewhere. All of these things. That's the beauty of Luke chapter 4, elder. Jesus walked into the tabernacle that day, the synagogue that day, as was his custom, the Bible says. And he stood up and he said, this day, has this been fulfilled in yours? What has been fulfilled in yours? There is an element that God is beginning to do in the apostolic church. It is the healing of broken hearts. All of us, if you've taken a breath on this earth, you've had your feelings hurt. And if not, I'll probably hurt him before tonight's over with. We've all walked around with hurts and pains and sadness in our lives from divorce or mistakes we've made or errors we've made in the past. There's an element of healing. We like to focus healing so much on a broken arm or a hand being extended. We give God glory for that. I give God glory for the healing of my wife's body. But we've got to begin to go to the deeper places that nobody sees. We've got to let God dig up some of those areas where we slam the door and we put padlocks and we say, I'm never, ever going to let anybody go there. All right, come on now. And we're the walking wounded because God said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. There are people today that because of things in your life, you're walking around brokenhearted. And this isn't in my message, but I feel like telling you this. It isn't the will of God. It isn't the will of God. My daddy didn't love me, but I got a daddy in heaven that loves you. My daddy hurt me, but I got a daddy in heaven that will not hurt you. But my daddy or my mommy or this, or they told me, they never told me they loved me. Hey, Jesus told you he loved you by dying on a cross for you. So we live in a world, all of this because of that moment in the garden. And as our God is who he is, there is a side of God that began to scream out, no, no, no. The perfection of God demanded justice for this affront to his perfection. As Adam and Eve sat cowering Justice said, no, Adam, no, Eve. I did it perfect for you. I made it perfect for you. As they sat there cowering in the shame and the fear, the holiness of God cried out, no, 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 no. These creatures, in Spanish we say los malagradecidos, these ingrates. How could we do the holiness, the perfection of God screamed out in that moment, no, and demanded retribution, resolution, and complete separation from humanity. It demanded death as judgment, and yet something in God said, I can't. I can't. And so as that side of God screamed, no, no, no. They don't deserve another chance. They don't deserve mercy. They don't deserve to breathe another breath that you've created. There was a side of God that still is there. The Bible says he holds things in judgment. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There is a side of God that he holds in judgment. He's withholding it. We've seen glimpses of it through Scripture. The no of God, when Sodom and Gomorrah flaunted their sin, God said, okay, I've had enough. And the no of God acted. And when Israel brought in and let their children pass through the fire to the God of Molech, God said, I had enough, seen enough. And when they would disobey God, he would send them into captivity. The no of God said, no, I can't tolerate sin. And the no of God cried with wrath, it's time for judgment. Now stay with me because I'm going somewhere. And I'll be honest with you. There's been times when the no of God cried for the blood of my life because I didn't deserve. And don't look at me like I'm crazy. God, the no of God cried for our lives too. But as much as God cried, that side of God cried, no, there was another voice screaming out, echoing out in the garden. And it begins immediately. It begins immediately as he begins to curse them. He curses the devil, says, you're just going to crawl on your belly. And the yes, he said, but here's the yes of God. There's going to come a day when that seed is going to stand on your head and he's going to crush your head. There's a word we use, aplastar. It means to just literally plaster, to make flat, to just crush utterly. And while there was a no of God, God immediately said, there's got to be a yes. And that yes, for that brief moment, there was a no. There's been thousands of years of yes. Yes, I'm going to give them another chance. And you and I are here today because of that yes. You and I can sing, what a mighty God we serve. I don't have a voice, so I can't sing it. You and I, because of that yes, can walk in here in our human frailty, in our weakness, in our ability sometimes to even lift our hands because we're overcome with stress and problems and worship God. It is the yes of God. But I'm not here to talk to us because we know there's a yes. We know about mercy. We know because the moment God made a way out of them, for them out of the garden, he was making a yes for all of humanity. We thank God for that. Come on, think about it. What were you before Jesus? What were we before the yes of God? Let us never, ever forget that. Let us never ever forget the yes of God in our lives when we came stumbling to an altar. Hey, I know what it was like. I sat on an apostolic pew the first time. I'm going to get in here. I'm going to help you. Can I get in there? I'm just going to step right through here, sister. God bless you. First time in an apostolic church. I'm showing up like I'm the thing. It's cool. It's great. Little punk kid. Didn't know nothing from nothing. And I'm sitting in an apostolic church and the music's going and everybody, yeah, da 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 da. And I'm like, yeah, I like this kid. You know, where I used to go to church, we didn't do nothing but sleep. At least y'all are awake. Got a little bit of a beat there. Nice band you got going up there. This is good. And I'm sitting there. And that old elder got up in that pulpit. And he wasn't crazy. He'd hold on to that pulpit. He was up in his years and he'd be church of 300 or 400 people in Jacksonville, North Carolina, military church. And Elder Gilbert would get up in that pulpit. And he'd hold on to that pulpit and he'd start preaching that old deep rumbling voice. God, I can't do it because I ain't got a voice. God loves you. God wants you to be saved. And here I am. The coolness is wearing off and I'm sitting there thinking, where's the door? Light shining right on me, the Holy Ghost. He said, let's all stand. And I'm thinking, let's all stand and get out of here. But I'm trapped. I got people this way. I got people this way. And I'm holding on to that pew. And all I can feel is God. And while I felt the Lord, all I could think about is everything that I was in that moment. And yet while I was sitting there, and these old hands ain't white, you can tell, but they was turning white, holding on real tight. The yes of God was saying, come on, Jesse, I got something for you, boy. I got something better than what they're offering you out there. Let me show you something. And I sat there and I held on. And I went to the altar, didn't know what was going on. Prayed a little bit, left. Came back a couple times. And when I got the Holy Ghost, that's why I'm crazy about it. That's why the devil, when he tries to tell me things are going bad, I come up on a Sunday night, elder. I'm praying by myself, thinking I'm going to hide up in here. No, people know. People know when you're a visitor. They're just waiting for you to get in your prayer groove. And I'm sitting there, God, love you, Lord. And I start, blah, blah, blah. Hallelujah, blah, blah. I start looking around. I'm like, uh-oh, something going on here. And I began to worship God. And I began to speak in tongues. And I began to speak in tongues. And I began to speak in tongues. And I got the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you something. When I got the Holy Ghost, I got the Holy Ghost. I went home and I was speaking in tongues. I spoke in tongues for 4 solid hours. I couldn't. My mom asked me if I wanted a ham sandwich for something to eat after church. And I said, yeah. I couldn't do anything but speak in tongues because the yes of God, the mercy of God said, I've got something for you. And the yes of God still exists today. You know it, I know it. We're evidence of that. But my question to you is this. Does our world know that the yes of God still exists? Now I'm about to zero it in and bring it all right down. I so love the worship I felt in this place tonight. I so love it. And I'm sure there's somebody outside these doors that would love it too. I'm sure there's a drug addict sitting out there crying, I don't want to do this anymore, but I can't help it. Some girl being, listen, I don't want to be gross or crude, but someone today for the first time is putting their lips to a bottle because they don't have a chance, because they don't have hope. Yeah, we're not shouting now. That's fine. But if I can help you tonight, understand that the yes of God does not stop. What's the address here, Elder? 2838 Ruffner Road. The yes of God does not stop here. It starts right here, friend. It all starts in the house of God. Oh, and I'm for the worship, friend. I'm for the excitement. I'm for all of it, friend. Because God, from Adam and Eve, from that garden, from that Exodus out of the garden, began putting a puzzle together. The law, the prophets, Jesus, the Gospels, the book of Acts, all of it. He began putting it together. And he slowly began to integrate his plan. And we are in that last piece of the puzzle, friend. You and I, the church. Is there an empty seat next to you? And we're fairly comfortable here, fairly comfortably packed here. But is there an empty seat next to you? How many of you know somebody right now that could fill that seat? Come on, lift your hand. It ain't a trick question. It ain't your question. The yes of God is calling out to those people right now. But let me tell you something. Angels ain't going to come down from heaven and declare it. And God himself already came down and did his part. He's looking at the church today to declare the yes of God to this world. There's a scripture in Proverbs. Proverbs 12:26. You Bible quizzers might be able to just kick it off right now. I can't. It says this: the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. You read that in English. That's nice. We have an excellent way. I'm going to read it to you in Spanish, and then I'm going to translate it to you in English. La Biblia dice en español, el justo sirve de guía a su prójimo. Mas el camino de los impíos les hace errar. It literally says this: the righteous serve as guides. Guides to your neighbor. See, in English it says we have an excellent way. In Spanish it says the righteous, those of us who have been washed in the blood, those of us who have been baptized in Jesus' name, our job is to serve as guides. Oh, I know it's not popular, but I'm telling you, we are the last piece of the puzzle before God wraps everything up in eternity. God's wrapping this thing up. I'm telling you, you got people like Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce Jenner, that don't know if he's a guy or a girl. We got people, and they're giving them the attention, friend. When we, the church of the living God, the only ones that have the hope of this world. My voice is not going to let me do this. El justo sirve de guía. The righteous serve as a guide. See, it's not the will of God that only... I saw bus ministry. Who is that young man that read that little thing about bus ministry? I don't know where he's at. He might not even be in here. There he is back there. I'm telling you, my friend, if nobody comes, go anyway. If nobody shows up, I'm telling you, there's a little girl whose mom and daddy won't wake them up out of bed on Sunday morning. But you go. You love them. You wipe their nose. You could get them dressed. You put them on that bus. You young people, I love your passion. I love it. I love the excitement. I love the worship. But I'm going to tell you something. Next year at this time, when you start back to school, they should have these sections full of young people with the energy and the passion you've got. Hey, there's a yes of God that wants to reach our world. Put that first slide up there, please. Is that her? This last Thursday. I'm not going to be long, but I got to get this out of my spirit. This last Wednesday, this 89-year-old woman. Hey, I don't know if anybody's ever baptized anybody older than 80. I'm sure somebody has. 89-year-old woman wanted to be baptized in Jesus' name. They asked me, they said, can you baptize our 89-year-old mother? I said, can I baptize them? 89 years of carrying guilt, the weight of sin, the weight of mistakes and problems. 89 years, think about it. That's twice my age. Elder, 89 years. And she came down to the water. Praise God. God is so good. Just worshiping God. And I had the privilege to baptize her. And in seconds, 89 years of pain and sin and shame was completely obliterated. Why? Because the yes of God never ever stops reaching. The yes of God says, I don't care if they're 89 or they're 9 years old. My answer is yes. My answer to them is yes. Yes, I'll save them. Yes, I'll love them. Yes, I'll take away their sin. Go to the next slide, please. Last week we had a rally. Before I took the church in Durham, I was a home missionary pastor in a very, very small town. Ted Erskine. I was assistant for years, and then I came out of his church and I started a Spanish church. These two young ladies came up to me. We had a statewide youth rally last week. And I go in and I sit down. I'm being nice. Hey, praise God. Good to see you. Yeah, yeah. You know how we do. And I sit down and I get my seat. Do my tie like this. Just kind of looking down, you know. And these two little girls come up to me and they say, Hola, Pastor Galindo. And I looked up and I didn't have a clue who they were. And they looked at us and they said, You don't remember us, do you? And I didn't want to say no. I said, Wait a minute. And as they began to smile, it all came back to me. These little girls are the result of a home missions church my wife and I started 10 years ago. But here's the deal. What many don't know is my wife and I could not speak Spanish. My wife is as white as... She white. But God put in our hearts, I fought it. I said, God, I can read it. It's crazy. I can read it and I can write it. I've been raised around it my whole life, but for a long story, my parents would not let me learn it. But God dealt with us. God dealt with us. I would avoid going to Mexican restaurants because I did not want them to talk to me and me look at them like, Y'all have the number 3. But God said, Look, Galindo, we fought it. And we had two undeniable proofs. One of them was, and this lady didn't know, she was the secretary of Brother Erskine at the time. She came to my wife and she said, I had the craziest dream last night. And here my wife was struggling. We're not telling anybody about it. She said, It's crazy. She said, I was walking with you. My wife. She's talking to my wife. She said, I was walking with you, and you and I were talking, and all of a sudden, a Spanish lady came up and started talking to you. And you, out of the blue, just started talking to her in Spanish. And my wife just sat there listening because we were struggling, praying about it. And she said, all of a sudden, more Spanish ladies came around you. And before too long, I couldn't see you. All I could hear was women speaking Spanish all around you. And my wife came over. I'm a crybaby, guys. I am. God's been so stinking good to me. And then I had a preacher while we were still with Brother Erskine. He was preaching. And he walked out of the building and I was at the back. And he walked in and he looked at me and said, In the very near future, you're going to feel like a stranger here. God's going to take you from here. And I was like, look, I'm the assistant pastor. I'm doing good. Don't go messing with my little apple cart, please. But something, Elder, primed at my heart. It would not let me rest. It would not let me sleep. It just said, do it. Do it. And I'm just like you. I gave every reason why I couldn't. But these two, we finally started one. I would read my messages, and I probably read them wrong. And I'd look at the people, and they'd be looking at me. But I kept praying. I said, God, you didn't take me from everything I know and put me in a completely different world and force me to learn a language that I rejected for years that my parents would not let me learn. Listen, if your kids speak Spanish, let me just tell you something. If they don't speak Spanish and you speak Spanish, es una vergüenza si usted no anda enseñando a sus hijos a hablar en español. And what I just told them is, it's an embarrassment if you speak Spanish and you don't teach your kids Spanish. Why? Because I just did a quick statistical search of Birmingham and the Hispanics in Birmingham. In the last 10 years, the population has jumped 161%, the Hispanic population. They're coming, friend. You can't stop it. God's bringing them here. You might as well get ready. You might as well get ready, because the yes of God said we're going to have revival. Si vamos a tener avivamiento. Si vamos a tener un momento de Dios en el pueblo hispano. Yeah, we're going to have revival. You just better get ready for it. You need to learn the language. Don't be afraid. Come on. Come on. The yes of God is crying out to the church. The yes of God is saying, I'm saying yes, yes, yes. But let me address your fears. My wife, these two little girls were 3 and 6 years old. And my wife couldn't speak 20 words of Spanish, I promise. And she would get her Bible study, and we would gather together, and we'd pray and say, God, you asked us to do it, and we said yes. Now touch my wife's, I'd lay hands on her, touch her mind, open her understanding, give her the words to say. And the little girl to the left here, with the updo, her husband would threaten. See, she lives with her grandmother because her mom was a drug addict. And her mom had this baby, like all the others, out of wedlock. But she gave the baby to her mom. So she lived with her grandma. And this grandmother, deathly ill, when we got to know her, she had a terrible heart condition. I'm just talking about the yes of God to this world. Her blood would get real thick, and she had a major heart attack, and they went in and replaced a valve. And she had to be on a certain level of medication. And my wife would go with her and help her get her medications and monitor her medications, because if you didn't, the blood would get real thick, and you'd hear the valve in her heart start ticking. We'd be in services, and you could hear the valve ticking because she wasn't taking her medication right. And then on top of all of that, her husband would say, if you go to that church, I'm going to kill you. If I see you going anywhere with that la hermana, which means sister, hermano y hermana, sister, brother. She said, if I see you go anywhere with that sister, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to beat you. And my wife would call her, and they'd set a date, and she'd go out and say, I'm just going to go for a walk. And she'd meet my wife on the corner. And my wife, with her 20 words of Spanish and a Spanish Bible study, they'd go and sneak at my father-in-law's house. And they'd close the door and close the blinds. And she would teach her the word of God. And she would get it. And she would, and finally she'd start coming to services. And she got the Holy Ghost. And she got baptized in Jesus' name. And 10 years later, her little girl is in church. She's living for God. Why? Because there's a yes crying out from heaven, crying from the entrance of Eden. And say yes. The other little girl, Selena, her mom was just brutal with her. Loved her, but man, tough love. And I'm telling you, if you've never had your oreja jalao, I'm telling you, you ever had your ear twisted off? I'll take the belt any day over that. You feel like that thing's coming disconnected from your head. An elder, that girl would act up in church. And I'd see her mom run over there and snatch that ear. And I mean, lift her. And that girl would be like, mommy, 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 mommy. But they just told me, he said, our moms are still coming to church. And I'm telling you, not because it's not about me, friend. It has never been about me. I don't deserve to be in the service of God. But God loves this world so much. He's willing to make me uncomfortable so that people, young ladies, I don't know what their future holds, but I know it was better. It's better than what it was going to be. And I'm telling you now, it's not because of you or me. It's because there's a yes of God. And there's a God that wants to use his church in this last hour. Helen Keller said this. The only thing worse than being blind is having sight, but having no vision. Being so short-sighted that all you see is your world. Listen, the devil doesn't have to kill us. He doesn't have to stop us to kill us. He doesn't have to kill us to stop us. He just has to get us busy about ourselves. He just has to get us busy about you and me and my future and my career. And hey, and I'm not against all that. I believe in education. I'm applying for my doctorate. I believe in it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that for any other reason than so that you understand. I believe in things. I believe in setting goals. I'm not against vacations. I'm not against having fun in life. I love Carowinds. I love theme parks, and I love screaming down the roller coasters, and I'll do it just like anybody else. But there's something that rests in my spirit every day that is the yes of God that says, look, I could have killed all of y'all in the garden and started over and don't need your permission to do it. Nobody would have ever known if I started over. Do you realize that? He could have ended it all and nobody would have ever, ever known. But that love I talked to you about this morning set in place a plan that would cause him to robe himself in flesh thousands of years later and take from his own, while creation, his own creation, sat there and smacked him in the face and spat on him and mocked him while he sat there and they just tossed him side to side and mocked him while he was tired. And then he allowed them. They didn't kill him. He laid down his life. He allowed them to take those big nails and stab them through his hands. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to do it. He could have just started over. But when he looked at Adam and Eve, there must have been a love that I can't understand. I said, I'm going to have to do something about this. And I'm telling you today, since that day, thousands and thousands of years ago in the garden, there's a yes crying out from heaven to all of humanity. I love our services. I believe in them. In our church, I push great worship. I push great moves of God. I believe in having great church. You know why? Because the yes of God, when they finally accept the yes of God, they need to come somewhere where they can feel the God that of the yes. They don't need to come to a church that's dry and dead and nothing going on. They need to come to a church where people are excited about God. I'm finishing. The yes of God continues to scream out. I'm telling you, and I'm going to finish with this. I touched on it already. Don't be afraid to reach Spanish people. Now, I'm just telling you, it's my passion. I eat it. I drink it. I sleep it. Preaching to you guys Sunday morning and Sunday night was bonus. He invited me to come preach to the Spanish, and I'm telling you, I'm just right at home. I love it. It absolutely thrills my soul. I love it. I've enjoyed being with you. Don't take that wrong, please. I enjoy it. But I'm telling you, when they get in there and that music gets to going and that's Hispanic rhythm, oh, something in me gets to going saying, oh, yeah, here we go. But I'm going to tell you why it's so important that you get involved in it. Because God, I believe, and they might resolve it tomorrow, but God will not allow them to resolve this immigration issue. If they resolve it, someone's going to lose. And both of those sides are not about losing. And so they'll offer this, and Donald Trump will say, send them all back, and that's ridiculous. I'm not trying to cry. I'm not even dealing politics. I'm just telling you about what God's doing with this immigration issue. You ain't going to send them all back. That's just ridiculous. I wish somebody would have the guts to tell him, you're being ridiculous. But he's just such a big mouth, he'll just start screaming more. So I say, you know what? If God's going to leave him here, we might as well win them all to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, we might as well reach them. We might as well get out. What's that? I hope you've seen this before. ¿Sabías que nadie en la Biblia fue bautizado en los títulos del Padre, Hijo y del Hijo del Espíritu Santo? I can't speak Spanish, but I bet you can do that. God bless you. I need my card. I can't do that. Yes, you can. I'm telling you now, yes, you can. God wants to win him, friend. And you listen to me. Ven, Martin. Is Jorge here? Jorge está en la casa. No está. Su esposa está aquí. Está enferma. His wife's sick. Martin, te voy a decir una cosa. Es la voluntad de Dios que ustedes tienen culto aquí en este lugar porque no hay espacio allá. It's the will of God that on Sunday afternoon you fill this sanctuary up with brown colored people. It's the will of God that you fill this sanctuary up and have... I believe it with all of my heart. The yes of God is not just for America. It's for everybody. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. If you'll help these guys, they'll have a move of God. Because I'm going to tell you something about the Spanish culture. And this is why I'm here. This is why I've come. I haven't come because I'm an authority. But I've started a church and I pastor a fairly large Hispanic church now. They naturally believe in God. There is an innate respect for the Spanish culture for God. And I'm going to tell you something. If you and I don't reach them, the Mormons know. I ain't afraid to say it. The Mormons know. I'm telling you now, the JWs know. They're coming over. They're coming over hand over fist. And I'm going to tell you what's happening. And this is where the church has to step up and be that role, that holistic role. God, I feel the Holy Ghost. When they had that big issue with all of the children in Central America coming over the border, and they had them all over the Southwest, and they had them in Texas and all that other stuff, the federal government, you don't know this, you'll never hear this. It won't make headline news. The federal government was taking those children in batches and shipping them into the states and hiding them into the homes. We found out that in our city alone, they placed over 11,000 Hispanic children into the school systems. In the state of North Carolina alone, it was over close to 20,000 of those children just showed up and were dumped. You say, well, that's wrong. I'm not arguing right or wrong here. I'm dealing with their souls and they need what we've got. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. This is what happened. These people that took these children began to sell them into prostitution. Began to force labor them. They wouldn't take them to school like the federal government said. You got to enroll them in school. Never checked up on them. They began to force labor these children. We're not talking about 20 years ago. I'm talking about in the last year, in the state I live in. They began to put these children to work, working in these restaurants. They'd hide them in the back and make them wash dishes and work ungodly hours. And someone contacted me from a charity organization, like Catholic Charities, Lutheran Family Service, something like that. And they said, we need your help. Because I have social workers and I have sheriffs in my church that are Spanish. They're Spanish speaking. They're Hispanic, Panamanian, and all that stuff.
can you help us? And they would give us places to go look. Prostitute houses that look like regular houses. And they would ask us, send your sheriff guy back by this place and look, because they've got children there and they're prostituting them out. And you know the only hope these kids got, because their parents ain't here, I'm just telling you, the only hope they got is you. You look at me in the eye. The only hope they got is you and what you've got here. Well, I don't want to deal. I'm telling you, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. There is an innate desire in the Spanish culture to worship God. They love the things of God. But I'm telling you, as they come over, as much as the church is casting their net, hell is casting their net for them too. I have the privilege of going into Cuba every year. As a matter of fact, I just got the dates. We're going again this year. And I'm telling you now, illegally, the Jehovah Witnesses, they will not use the word Jehová, which means Jehovah. The Spanish will not, because the Jehovah Witnesses have snuck into the country already and have made such a bad name for themselves. Testigos de Jehová, Jehovah Witnesses, that when they read their Bible and they see the apostolics down there see the word Jehová, they will not even say it. They say El Señor, they say the Lord. Hey, listen, guys. I believe in everything we're doing in this building. I believe in the worship. You need to stand behind your pastor and the vision he has. I've heard this man teach. I've watched him worship. He's apostolic to the core, and I know his heart. He brought me here to talk with them. I guess I have the bonus to these guys. But if you'll be the mother church and you'll get a stack of those cards. And let me tell you something. Well, I don't speak Spanish. If you'll just try. The beautiful thing about Spanish folks is this. They're so patient and understanding. I go knock a door. And don't take this wrong. I'm American. American, what do you want? Spanish folk, I'm from the church. Ah, Dios le bendiga. Pase adelante. Quiero un taco. I would never have to eat again if I did outreach permanently. My wife, in her 20 words, won those parents to the Lord. My Caucasian wife, and let me tell you something about my wife. She said, God, you're going to have to heal my mind. That portion of the brain that heals, that holds language. And I'm telling you now, my wife can come up here and speak Spanish as if she was a native speaker. She is right now beginning on Monday. Don't tell me you can't. Don't tell me. Hey, you got to get out of your comfort zone. The yes of God is commanding the church to get out of her comfort zone. On Monday, my wife is enrolling in a program to be certified nationally. It's a year program as an interpreter. She went to classes last year with native speakers, people that speak it, that's their first language. My wife got 199s. This is for the girl, the little redheaded girl from Tennessee, from the backwoods of Tennessee, that couldn't even speak English right. And she couldn't even remember why she left one room to the other. But God, he said, if you'll do it, if you'll just say yes to my yes, I'll touch that mind. And my wife's going to Cuba this year, and she's going to be teaching the ladies. I'm telling you, it's coming. It's coming. You want to fill this building? You want to see a move of God? Get you a handful of cards. Do we have stacks of these somewhere? Come on, somebody run out there and get me a stack of these. Run out there quickly. Somebody, anybody, come on, don't. All of you at the same time, come on, don't run. Thank you. Now, the greatest thing you will ever do, English, Spanish, it don't matter. Everybody needs Jesus. Come on. Now, thank you, my friend. Is that all you got back there? That's one family in Spanish right there. That's one Hispanic family right there. I'm telling you, Dios quiere hacer algo con ustedes. Y con el ministerio hispano aquí, créeme, no lo digo porque yo estoy tratando de darle ánimo falso, se lo digo de corazón. God's not bringing them over here just to work. They think they're coming over here for work. God said, I can't send one man and send one man there to take 10 years to learn the language and then build a little 10-person church there for 10 years. God said, you know what? Let's rework this plan. I'm just going to bring them all to y'all. I'm going to bring them to the American. I'm going to bring them over the border. I'm going to shut the border down and let them come because I've say yes. Now, how many of you want to have revival? I'm telling you now. You want to have revival? Yes. I want to have revival. Say it with me. Yes, I want to have revival. Hey, yeah. You don't know any Spanish courses, do you? What is it? Is it a slow one? Te amo. Okay, it's okay. That's okay. Man, I wish, next time, if there is a next time, he's probably going to be like, don't ever get, Galindo and Eric come back here. He's like, whack. Hey, what about this? How are they going to take this? I appreciate you bringing them up here, but how are they going to get to them? Spend 30 minutes opening this. You need a doctor degree to get to them. That's okay. I got it, elder. I'm having fun. I hope you're having fun. We're about to get out of here. God wants to have revival. They're in your schools. They're in your workplaces. They're in Walmart on Saturday night. Go about 9 o'clock. Go about 9 o'clock. Go to, you guys got Ross here? You got like Ross stores, Ross department store, something like that? Go to Ross department store about 8 o'clock on a Saturday night when daddy's come home from work and the kids need new shoes. They ain't at Nordstrom. They're going to be at Walmart and Macy's. Don't go to Target. They don't go to Target. You guys got a Spanish store, Mexican stores around here? Tienda latinas aquí donde vende tortillas y cosas. You get a hand full of these. This is what we do. You think I'm crazy. I am crazy. I'll say, I'm sorry for standing on. I like to look at the people in their eyeballs. You get a hand full of these things. I don't know how to speak Spanish. Can you do this? You want to win souls? Take one of these guys with you and just stand outside. Bless you. Bless you. God bless you. God bless you. That's all you got to do. It ain't something magical. You ain't got to speak Spanish and then worry about them. Because you know what they'll do? If you say, Gloria a Dios, they're going to start speaking to you. And it's going to be, and you're going to be like. I'm just telling you. If this mother church will help travail, there is a Spanish move of God. I'm going all over the country preaching, Mama, it's time to give birth to some brown skin babies. Mama, it's time to travail. Now don't worry about the language. They understand the language of love. And if God loves you, you just reflect it back. Elder, I'm done. Here's what I want to do. La gente que son miembros de la iglesia hispana, pase adelante pronto. Si tú asistes a la iglesia hispana, pase adelante aquí. Now, I didn't plan on doing this. I just didn't plan on doing this. Da vuelta a la gente de atrás. Ven, pase adelante. Si tú hablas español, si tú asistes a la iglesia hispana. That's all right, buddy. Are you the guy that learned praise in Spanish and all that stuff? Yeah, love it. That's all right, sister, go ahead. If you speak, nosotros decimos la idioma de los ángeles. We got a joke among Spanish folks that Spanish is the language of the angels. So if you want to understand what's going on, you better learn Spanish. God wants to see this group grow. It isn't for anybody else. It's because there's a yes from heaven. You know what they need? They need your help. They need someone that's going to saddle up to next to Brother Martin and my brother here and say, listen, I can't speak Spanish, but let me know what I can do. I'll go with you on outreach. Hey, listen, how can, if one can put 1,000 to flight, what can two do? Come on. Listen, I'm not abdicating that you forget about the rest of the world. Everybody needs Jesus. But I'm here standing instead of the millions of immigrants that are hiding in the shadows today, Elder, that so desire to know. They want to know. And I'm telling you, you win one family, revival. Because they'll win their tios, their tias, sus sobrinas, sus primos, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles. God wants to give revival. Now here's what I want to do. I want sisters with sisters. I want one of my English-speaking sisters that's got a burden to win souls. They don't even have to be Spanish. You just got a burden to win souls. I want you to come up next to a sister right here, one of our Spanish-speaking sisters. If you're a brother and you want to win souls, and you don't speak Spanish and you don't know nothing about it, but you want to win souls. You want to fulfill God's great commission. I didn't plan on doing this. I didn't, but I'm telling you. God, I'm telling you. God is about to do something in your Spanish work. That's not false animo. That's not false hope. I'm telling you. I want you to pray now. God, help me to say yes. Do your damn song. Do your Spanish song. Huh? I don't know that one. Just do what you know. Oh!
Feel my
Jesus, we'll help them. Bring them, Jesus. We'll teach them the Word of God. We'll get a Bible study chart. Jesús. En el nombre de Jesús. En el nombre de Jesús. Travail. Come on, there's a spirit of giving birth. There's a spirit of giving birth right now. Come on, there's a spirit. Something is being birthed in the spirit. Something is happening. Something is taking place. I'm telling you, it's the prophetic word, guys. It's what's happening. It's being birthed. Jesus.
Oh,
these cards. Take some of these cards. Don't be afraid. Give them out. Come on, there's seeds. There's seeds being planted in people's lives. Take some of these cards. Pray over them. Say, God, lead me. Take them. Take them.
Oh, Spirit.